وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. جزاك الله خير for your duas as always. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower his choices, blessings on you, Hazrat Mawlana. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhin istufa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. آمنوا بالله ورسوله سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al Ansar International, today we share with you a story of the pearl necklace. And there's some weeks back I had spoken of it, but very briefly, we'll give you it to you in a little bit of detail today. Qazi Abu Bakr Muhammad ibn Abdul Baqi Ansari is an illustrious personality of Islamic history. So he was the most pious person of his time. Even after the lapse of 9 centuries, his exemplary life is a source of guidance to Muslims. His biographers tell a number of tales of his honesty and reliability, but the one that affected his whole life is full of strange and unique events. He has narrated the story in his own words, and it adorns the pages of history books. In the middle of the 5th century Hijri, he says, "I was a student of the Holy Quran and Hadith in Makkah Mukarramah. During that period, I once became jobless and my means of income came to an end. I managed somehow to subsist for a few days, but soon it became hard to obtain even 2 square meals. My studies were discontinued and I had to sell a few of my books to support myself. I was at the edge of starvation, but my feelings of self-respect did not allow me to borrow or beg from anybody. So one day," he says, "I was hungry as usual. I went to the holy Kaaba Sharif to pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save me from my sad plight. So on my way back, I saw a velvet cloth pouch lying near the road edge. I picked it up. It was nicely sewn and neatly tied with a silk cord. I looked around to find its owner, but the road was deserted and nobody was in sight. So he says, I carried the pouch to my house. I was curious to know the contents of the small bag as I untied the cord. A very precious necklace of pearls slipped into my hand. The luster of the spotless pearls almost lit my room. The pearls of different sizes were nicely put together in a string of crimson-colored silk. It was a radiant beauty, and I was thrilled to hold the valuable ornament. So for a moment, I altogether forgot the hunger and the pitiable state in which I was. So my thoughts went to the unfortunate owner who had lost the precious jewelry, and he said he must be unhappy and worried due to his great loss. The course of action which I instantly decided on was to look for the owner and give him back his necklace to relieve him of his mental suffering. It never came to my mind to keep it wrongfully in my possession." And this is what we need to teach our children: what does not belong to us must never take possession of it. So I set out to search for him. Leaving the bag behind, I went straight to the place where it was found. A group of excited men were standing there and were busy in anxious conversation. So he said, "I went close to them. Their topic of discussion was a missing pouch of pearls. An old man whose nobility and magnanimity was evident from his imposing personality was standing amidst them. He was explaining the loss of his pearls and the attentive audience to the attentive audience, and was announcing a reward of 500 gold coins to the person who could help him in recovering the last the lost necklace. So he said, I listened to his account of the loss very carefully. When I was sure of his ownership, I held his hand gently and requested him to come along with me. He looked at me very hopefully, and without asking any questions, he followed me. On the way back to my house, I was delightfully thinking that a handsome amount of 500 dinars would be mine after a short while. The very thought of getting a reward of that such money was very pleasing. So I was wondering whether my miseries would be over. I would no longer be a hungry or poor person. So with such happy ideas in my mind, I entered my house and also invited the old man to come in. When we sat down, I asked my perplexed guest about some marks of identification of his lost bag so that his ownership could be established beyond doubt. So he readily explained the shape and color of the pouch. He told me about its contents and gave an exact account of the pearls. He even described the tying cord. So it convincingly proved that he was the rightful owner of the bag and the necklace of the pearls. So I suddenly rose and brought out the necklace pouch. As he saw it, his gloomy expression at once changed. His shining eyes beamed with joy, and he looked at me with sincere gratefulness. His pleasant glance of thanks impressed me, and my own mode of thinking suddenly changed. A little earlier, since I was enjoying the idea of getting a good reward, but now my mind was reasoning as to what I had actually done to deserve it. It was by sheer chance that the bag came into my possession. I had exerted no efforts to obtain it. Therefore, why did I expect to get a reward for returning it to its rightful owner? It belonged to him. But I was actually in dire need of money. My poverty and the grim realities of life were looking me in the face. Why shouldn't I accept the reward? So it was absolutely legitimate, and surely there was no harm in taking it. So he says, a painful conflict of indecision was going on within me, and I was in an uneasy state of double-mindedness. So the noble man was looking at the necklace again and again as to assure himself of its recovery. He then looked at me and said, oh dear me, you are a virtuous person, and I thank you from the core of my heart. And I'm unable to express fully my feelings of gratitude for your praiseworthy act. Nevertheless, I offer you a purse of 500 dinars as a humble present and request you to kindly accept it. He then placed in front of me a purse full of gold coins. So a conflicting struggle of ideas was still going on in my mind. The sight of the money, which was within my easy reach, was very tempting. But I checked myself and said, sir, I thank you for offering me a substantial amount as a reward, but it is impossible for me to accept it. So why not, asked the noble guest. You justly receive the reward because I am giving it entirely on my own free will. I gladly give it to you as a humble token of my gratitude. Please do not dishearten me by refusing it. So I replied, sir, I cannot even think of being rude to decline your kind offer, but it is certainly improper for me to take it without doing anything to earn it. The necklace is yours, and I happen to find it only by chance. Its restoration to you does not entitle me to take anything in return. Please do not insist on me to accept what is not morally my due. So he was rather surprised by the firm refusal. All people yearn for is money, but I was adamantly declining it, he said. So my son, it is a virtue to be an honest person, but the money which being offered to you is not disallowed by our faith. It is not prohibited to offer or accept such presents. Therefore, I request you to reconsider your unrealistic stand and keep that purse for the sake of my pleasure, if not for anything else. I said, sir, I do not at all intend to displease you, but the pleasure of Almighty Allah is more important to be reckoned with than your pleasure. If there is any good in my action, I will prefer to leave the matter to His grace for compensation, which I do not want to risk for all the riches of this world. Kindly do not insist, because I am determined not to accept any undue reward. So my guest collected his pouch and purse and stood much dejectedly there, and he left. He patted me on the back before he left, and left without a word. After a week or so, I got back my previous job. My days of deprivation and hunger were over. I rejoined my classes and forgot all about the incident. As I got busy with my daily schedule, I exerted all of my energy to acquire knowledge of the Holy Quran and Hadith. My main subject of interest was Islamic jurisprudence, so I completed my studies with a distinction. So, upon the recommendation of my tutor, I was offered an appointment as Qazi of Cordoba, the capital city of Hispania, is presently known as Spain. So I readily accepted the post and started to prepare myself very happily for the long journey. I took leave of my colleagues and went to the port of Jeddah to embark on the ship for my destination. I boarded a merchant ship to carry me to the land of my future hopes. So for the first few days, the voyage was smooth and very enjoyable. Then suddenly a violent storm of severe intensity overtook us, and the ship was engulfed by stormy waves. The mountain high waves tossed the ship around like a tiny toy. The masts were broken and the sails torn. A mighty wave crushed the ship and wrecked it completely. A few screams were heard and it was all over. I saw some floating boards and a few victims of the crash swimming around trying to save their lives. They were the only survivors of the hapless ship who were drifting over the ocean surface. He says, when I recovered from the shock, I found myself clinging to a plank and moving with it at the mercy of the waves. After drifting for 2 days in a semi-conscious state, the waves tossed me upon the shore. I thanked Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for saving me from the jaws of death. So I was so weak that I couldn't move. I helplessly lay there exposed to the scorching heat of the burning rays of the sun. Says, I crawled to the dim shadows of a thorny bush. I lost track of time and I was a state between dizziness and heavy slumber. After some time, I slightly opened my eyes and saw a few strange faces staring at me. They poured a few drops of water into my mouth and I came out of my oblivion but was still unable to speak. They made up a stretcher and carried me to a nearby town. When we approached it, the first man-made thing which caught my eye was a towering minaret of a masjid. So I thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for being among my own brethren of faith. So they took me to a house belonging to one of them and laid me on a comfortable bed. With proper care, feeding and treatment, I soon regained my lost energy. I told my kind host all about myself and the mishap of the shipwreck. My host, whose name was Falih Hassan, informed me that I was in Hudaydah, a coastal town of Yemen. The track where I was luckily found was a desert region and was a less threaded part of the coast. So Falih Hassan and his friends noticed a few vultures circling over the area, so they went to investigate and found me there in an unconscious state. So he introduced me to his friends and I expressed my heartfelt thanks for saving my life. So due to their loving concern, I was soon back to normal, both mentally and physically. So this is the first part of the story. Inshallah, Al-Aziz, we shall continue with the story, you know, the results of honesty, and even tell our children about it, that what are the consequences of honesty. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to make amal. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.